Normally we start a scripture and we read directly out of the Bible, but this one is a little different. This is from the Apocrypha, and I'll read it. Then answered I and said, "What shall be the parting asunder of the times, or when shall be the end of the first and the beginning of it that follows?" And he said unto me, "From Abraham unto Isaac, when Jacob and Esau were born of him, and Jacob's hand held first the heel of Esau. For Esau is the end of the world, and Jacob is the beginning of the next." We are in this world, this society, but we are not of this world, this society. We, the white family of the world, the children of our Father God Yahweh, were not created for this social system, of which we have been unwittingly and seduced into accepting. This is not our society. This is not our world. We do not belong in this existence, which we have blindly and ignorantly come to consider the world, this society, or this social system. By the prepositions of the, this, or any other similar words, we are mentally conditioned to believe we are in this physical position and subject to this current system of social order and control. Such are the results of our separation from Yahweh and His divorce from us. We walked in sinful heathenism from the 8th century B.C. until Christendom has completely engulfed our European nations near 1200 A.D. This is when all of the Scandinavia finally accepted the truth and became Christian. All of the white nations became followers of Christ. We became Christians. This current social system that we are living in is not a society. For our social system to be our healthy functioning society, it should not appear equally beneficial to all the living beings on earth, living communally in a mutual life existence. Mutually and beneficial quality of life should not be contingent upon varying factors such as one's self-perception of personal importance, the quality and quantity of personal material possessions, or any variance of wealth and healthy well-being. Any difference of importance, like the quality or worth between individuals, establishes conditions that position each person at a different place or level of importance, and subsequently a specific peer position in the social order. To simply state this seemingly natural evolution of peer positioning must be regarded as bullying. The resulting effects are wealth and poverty, self-benevolence and slavery. Those who have the ability to take beyond their need from those who are incapable of retaining life sufficiency do so to the complete lack of regard of another being. This is called selfish, and it establishes differences between various individuals and people groups. The difference between haves and the have-nots. It's done so without any regard for another, and is seldom accomplished in regard to any level of satisfactory sufficiency regarding another person. the social difference between the haves and the have-nots in society is called the wealthy and the poor. But to make that seem more socially acceptable, we have the middle class stuck in the center of the mix. That's supposed to make everything look better. If society was so simplistic, it would be easy to maintain and correct. But such is not the case. We are led to believe all variations of prosperity are acceptable. We have the inconceivably indecently wealthy, the extremely wealthy, and the wealthy. Then there's the upper middle class, the middle class, and the lower middle class. Then we have the lower class, the poor, the impoverished, and to say nothing of the destitute, starving, and dying. This society has an extreme variance of social order, whether it be accepted or otherwise. Society further classifies poverty in relationship to what government determines is the poverty line, based upon the arbitrary place in the minimum and necessary cost of living. The two do not necessarily seem to join at the same value. As a matter of fact, they do not. Poor is poor no matter the amount of purchasing power one possesses. If a person cannot obtain the necessities for sustenance, what do you call that in the level of social order? We've come to believe and accept that this is a dog-eat-dog world we live in. It's always first come, first serve, and I need more. It's always I need, I need, I need. It's really not supposed to be the way we are living, you know. Not in the kingdom of heaven. And where is that? Oh, yeah. Right at our hand. But we have forgotten what that is. Yeshua, Christ, called it the way. Now the questions we had to ponder are, I've got three of them here. Where did this current society come from? When did it begin? And who controls it presently? Again, where did this current society come from? Our current social system began as a battle of difference between God, the creator of all life on earth, in this plane of existence, and those that would challenge him in his divine providence. Revelations 12, 7 through 9, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, and that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the world, he was cast into hell. Into this earth. And his angels were cast out with him. And by his deception and seduction, his army was recruited in heaven, cast out, and reestablished itself here on earth. The Father God declared a continuous conflict against Satan and his offspring and his children of Adamic man. It is so declared by our Father in Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." He was speaking to Lucifer. Because of the sin of the first man and woman, the serpent has been at liberty to pursue us from the very start of this earth age. As a consequence of that first error of seduction, the seed of the serpent was established as our foe. Our seed and evil seed have been mortal contestants from the beginning of the Adamic age. And this conflict will persist until the end of this age of Adamic man. When Yahweh God was here as Christ our kinsman redeemer, Satan challenged him and was rebutted. And Matthew 4, 1 through 11 tells the story on that one. When Yeshua had been led into the desert by the Spirit to be tried by the false accuser, and fasting 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he hungered. And coming forth, the tempter said to him, "If you are the Son of Yahweh, speak in order that these stones would become wheat loaves." And responding, he said, "It is written, not by bread alone shall man live, but by every word going out through the mouth of Yahweh." When the false accuser takes him, then the false accuser takes him into the holy city and stood him upon the wing of the temple and says to him, "If you are the Son of Yahweh, throw yourself down, for it is written that he commanded his messengers concerning you, and by their hands they shall bear you, lest at any time you strike your foot against a stone." Yeshua said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not tempt Yahweh your God." Again the false accuser takes him to an exceedingly high mountain and shows to him all the mountains of the society and their splendor. And he said to him, "I shall give to you all these, if falling you will worship me." And then Yeshua says to him, "Go away, adversary, for it is written, Yahweh your God shall you worship, and you shall serve him only." Then the false accuser leaves him, and behold, messengers came forth and served him. It has often been considered that because the devil was not challenged by Christ, he was correct in his claims. But this is not so. First, the devil is a liar, and there is no truth in him. And secondly, the world and everything else in it is the Father's. He created all righteous creation, and he owns everything. And there is nothing that is not his. Finally, the world went through a transformative change after Christ returned to heaven. For he said in Acts 1, 8, But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The apostles were commissioned to go wherever the children of man, the descendants of Abraham, had established his promised many kingdoms. In Genesis 17, 1 through 9, we go back and we see that when Abram was 99 years and 9, Yahweh appeared to Abram and said unto him, "I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly." And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee." and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. As we have come to know in the last couple of hundred years, the covenant seed line of Abraham spread throughout and developed the nations of Europe. The kings of Europe throughout time were all descendants of the tribe of Judah. The lineage of the kingship of Judah has been traced and documented and was promised, as was promised, and he would be, according to Genesis 49:10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering of his people be. And Psalms 60:7 says, Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of my head, and Judah is my lawgiver. So history transpired. Judah was the lineage of all the kingships of Europe. Ephraim became the British Empire, and Manasseh the great nation without walls or gates. You know, America. Now we are living in the near end of this age, the age of Adamic man. Revelations 21:3 says, And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, until 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. True Christians, not deceived Judeo-Christians, are awakening to that truth. And it has been realized that the 1,000-year time span we recognize as the millennial period has passed. The seed of the serpent has been loosed for a little season. All of the Father's awakened children know and understand that our mortal enemy are the seed of Cain, mixed with the Canaanites and then Esau, Edom. They now falsely call themselves Judeans or Jews, but they are not. They are the seed of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. They are our adversary. They were released from the pit, so to speak, when the aid of Napoleon, they achieved liberty, equality, and fraternity, and what was perceived as the French Revolution. It was no revolution. It was their deviant methodology. They climbed from the pit. They acquired liberty, the ability to move freely among us, and to do as they wanted. They deceitfully achieved equality by doing as they wanted, by trickery. They have now managed to gain full money and legal control of Abraham's nations. They claimed fraternity as a prize in the French Revolution. But they are not our brothers. Esau was Jacob's brother, but he vowed to kill him, us, at his best opportunity. In Genesis 27:41 says, And Esau hated Jacob because the blessing wherewith his father blessed him, and Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother Jacob. So continues the battle of this age. But as in Obadiah, Esau is told, "For thy vengeance against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever." From that time of their release from the pit, they have maneuvered into every Christian nation of Abraham's, Isaac's, and Jacob's lineage. They have acquired equal citizenship as well as dual citizenship as often as not. They were loosed for a little season and are intent upon destroying all of the father's children in that little season. As spoken by Yeshua Christ in Revelation 2:9, "I know thy words in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." As a deeper understanding of what Christ said and implied in the above verse, I did a word study of the verse on all of its nouns and verbs in Strong's Concordance. Christ began his statement with "I," which is to say that he, God, knew their works. The Father knows all things, and he is aware of their efforts and the focused toil of their doing. He also said he was aware of their claims of tribulation and poverty. He saw through their false anguish of "woe is me" pressure and affliction. He said their cries of persecution and trouble they claimed to be falsely burdened by were a lie, because their sorrowful cries of poverty to the point of necessary beggary is not so. He went on to say he knew they were wealthy and absolutely abounding in wealth, which brings up another unaddressed topic for discussion to be covered later. He then went on to say he was aware of their blasphemy, their impious and arrogant manner as they continually harped on in their evil speaking against God. He said that their blasphemy was to the point of railing. Now picture the rioting in the streets. They have been constantly speaking against God, while at the same time claiming to be Judean. Yeshua said, "They are not." They say they are of Judean heritage, and they are not. Why are they not? Because they are of Canaanite, Edomite lineage. They are the mixed race people that were born of Esau. And they are the very reason that Esau lost his birthright. They moved into our promised land after it was vacated by Assyrian and Babylonian pillage. They lived there falsely, taking our identity, claiming to be us, and maneuvered political control and position. This has always been their tactics, and especially now, after fleeing from Jerusalem, and just as God told them they would, they began killing and perverting all of God, the Father's children and creation that they could. Across the northern coast of Africa and the southern regions of Europe, and then eastward back to Turkey and northward into the land of Japheth, Meshech, and Tubal. Ezekiel 33:2-3 says, "Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against them and say, Thusly saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and the Tubal." Thus became the Ashkenazi and the Khazarian Jews. Now they are known as Gog, another morphing of Satan's seed, and the entrance of the Khazarian Mafia. The law, the Jews are a blood-mixed grouping of beings that gather together for the demonic worship of Satan. They have used satanic worship and human sacrifice coupled with the extreme extortion of gullible, entrapped fools who have participated in their rituals. They may not be of divine spirit, whom Magog is not, or they may be Adamic men or women who think it is necessary to sell their souls as guilty partakers in satanic rituals. The addiction to adrenochrome is the true controlling appeal to their spider's web. By way of money, sex, popularity, power, addiction, or guilt, the Jews have finagled political and financial dominance over their adversaries through the hold they have over their helping hands. Without their conniving deceit, they would have no power and no leverage. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, "See, this is new"? Or, "It hath been already of old time, which was before us"? Yahweh God knew who these evil beings were. They were released from the pit, so to speak, for a short season or a controlled period of time. All things are in the Father's control, and this age will be ended to His glory. Now we can think on and understand who is controlling this societal order. We are living in a controlled social system. It is not a society. It is not a society managed by man. We are man. And it is not being controlled by us. It is quite understandably not the kingdom of heaven. Our Father is perfect, and no life that is being lived is perfect. All man has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This present day reality is an orchestrated and controlled social system. We are living under the eighth beast of Babylon, with its control of gold and its false establishment of materialism. The beast, with his seduction of the white nations, make us whores who follow after physical possessions or idols instead of our faith walk with God. We are living in a monetarily engineered and controlled system of slavery, in which all of the living beings under this system of satanic dominant authority are slaves to the evil one. Yes, they function as one, and all beings are completely subject to Satan's rule and punishments. Why does the family of God believe the way they do? Remember Revelation 23? That he should deceive the nations, our nations, us, no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. The Father knew we would fall victim and be deceived. We are stubborn and difficult to teach, but we have to learn so we can grow into the servants He will have. It is for our own eternal good. Now back to that unaddressed topic in Revelation chapter 2:9. It begins with a question that comes from Christ's statement that these demonic creatures are wealthy. Where is all the wealth of the world? I said in the beginning, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Now I will say, they, the Jews, and all the beings of this topic of discussion are in this world, and they are not part of this world. Furthermore, I will also say, none of them belong in our world. This is our world and our Creator Father, and He made it for His divine pleasure. The demonic beings that call themselves Jews and are not have for multiple millennia practiced in demonic practices of control of all other beings. After their release from the pit and knowing their time is short, they came on their evil attack upon us with a committed vengeance, increasing their control over us by increasing their wealth through the exorbitant charge of high levels of interest on flat loans, or fiat loans. Fiat loans is called demonic usury. They have always practiced demonic usury. And by establishing the value of the fiat or fake money they lend and enticing us with the appealing attraction of materialism, materialization, continually increasing the cost of goods needed or desired by the masses, and by generating more demand for the buying power of the money they generate, the Jews have pirated all the wealth of the world. They intentionally fluctuate the buying power of the fiat money that they print by printing more or less in a chosen period of time. We are lied to into believing that it's inflation. But it's not. It's not inflation. All the above tactics are some of the methods that the world's bankers use to control this society. It is called the demonic curse of money magic, and the Khazarian mafia have perfected their methods to the complete detriment of our nations. They also manipulate and control nearly all political authority at all levels of social order, but primarily royal and upper political positions. By their methods of satanic religious practices, coupled with financial attraction and appeal. By being the accuser of the brethren, they are in demonic control of nearly all governmental functions, locally, regionally, nationally, and universally. By control of all government agencies, they establish the laws and the penalties for infractions, fines, imprisonment, and death. It's not complete, but it's getting close. All that is holding them back is their fear of God and His children. The evil ones have brainwashed nearly all of the world's population, including all of God's children. This brainwashing includes those that think they are Christian identity. And that is only to the point of maintaining disbeliefs among us. And why? Because of the age-old tactic, divide and conquer. By owning over 96% of all media methods and that much control of information that is disclosed, they have a practically complete handle on what is said, what is heard, and what is believed. The universalized Judean Christian churches, regardless of denominational name or lack of any, are falsely convinced into believing that a being, regardless of race or color, is saved if they say they believe. Well, that is a lie because it's based upon self-righteousness. Because no other than man can be convicted under the law. Because man is the only being living under the law. Again, man is only born of God and under Adam. So in answer to my first question, where did this current society come from? It's not a society. Our society was of God. and it was based upon kingdom rule. We are not perfect, but we were trying. When we let the serpent out of the pit and they corrupted and changed our world, this farce of a society is a product of those that call themselves Jews and are not. Now, the second question, where did it begin? It was a slow but steady process. Those that say they are Jews but are not were continually cast from among us for well over 1,000 years. And because of their usurious methods, their deceitful practices, their satanic worship, and their demonic practices, they were appropriately dealt with. They were executed when convicted, and sometimes even when they were not, and driven from well over 100 white nations and regions. Many were multiple times. If they did manage to stay near us, you know, at our heel, they were confined to their own ghettos. In 1640, with the aid of John Dee and Oliver Cromwell, I think we heard about that recently from Pastor Don, the Jews successfully pulled off their first deceptive political coup in Europe. This resulted in what we believe was the English Civil War. Note, we have believed every lie we have been told about every civil war. Truth is, every civil war was nothing more than demonic attempts of some sort of manipulated control by Satan. At that time, they did not gain citizenship, but they established their first national bank and complete financial control over England by killing King Charles. That is where their financial takeover started with the Rothschild family, and it reached its zenith in 1913 with the establishment of the U.S. Federal Reserve. Every war since the English Civil War has been due those that say they are Jews and are not. Since 1776, their takeover of the Freemasons, they have had their secret society at their beck and call, and they call them their helping hand. Where did this social disease begin? It began in Genesis 3:15. And they have not stopped. It's nearing its climax, and it's getting close. Brings us to the third question. And finally, who controls it presently? Our Father in heaven controls all things. At the present time, we are living his promised punishment for the sins of our fathers. We are in the time of Jacob's sorrows, and that time will not be ended until the Father says it is done to his glory. Most assuredly, he will. We will then be free. We are the family of man, the children of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, and the servants of our Creator, Yahweh God. We will not be free until we are in the kingdom of heaven. And our society and the time of Jacob will be for eternity. The kingdom of heaven will not be realized until the sea is no more. And what is the sea? It's the masses of beings that are the result of our sins and our ancestors' sins. It's called miscegenation. And I really mean that. Think about it, and you do the math, but only adding the increase. You see some numbers here. One soul plus one soul bears a soul, and that totals three children of God. One soul plus one that has no soul, they bear one that has no soul, and that totals still only one children of God, child of God. One soul plus one no soul, one without a soul, plus one without a soul, equals one without a soul. And that totals three beings that are not of God. One without a soul, plus one without a soul, and say they have 10. That's 10 beings that are not of God. How many? One soul plus one without a soul times the question mark. How many will they have? That's how many souls without the Spirit of God. Each X is a generation. X, X, X. And how many generations have there been? And I got all these X's. And a being without a soul, X, 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 is a being without a God-given spirit. And that serves as a temple to His Holy Spirit. They are not of God, and they will never be part of God. And all the X's. That equals the sea of beings with no soul. And they are of the demonic beings that we helped to generate. Our sin will be forgiven, but they shall be no more. The angels will remove the tares and cast them into the fire. And Revelation 21:1 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth departed, and the sea is no more." But all prophecy has not yet been fulfilled, and we are still dealing with our demons. Revelation 17:11-14 says, "And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is from the seven, and he goes into destruction. He has been revealed to us," and we know who he is, right? He's the eighth beast. "And the tenth horn and the ten horns which you saw are 10 kings for 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and power, and they give their authority to the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and he shall overcome them, because he is the Prince of Princes and King of Kings, and those with him called and chosen and faithful." And we know who we are, right? We have come to believe and accept that this is a dog-eat-dog world we live in. I talked about it already. It's always come first. First come, first serve, and I need more. I always need, I need, and I need. We actually think we are of one of the dogs. And that is how we think we have to act to get along in the way we are living. But our confusion comes from a misunderstanding. The misunderstanding is that the dogs spoken in parables was not really dogs. It was demons. Christ spoke in parables because he did not want the demons to understand. He taught his disciples in spirit and in truth. If you are a man, you are a child of Adam. If you are not a child of Adam, you are a demon. You are a perversion of God's seed. You are of the seed that will soon be no more. It's really not supposed to be this way, you know. Not in the kingdom of heaven. And where is that? Oh yeah, right here in our hand. All prophecy is not yet fulfilled. Almost all, but not yet. Like I said already, we know who the eighth beast is, and he is now. But he will go into destruction. That is what was said in verse 11. And we also know after verse 14, we know who we are. So Be confident. We are in His hands, and none shall be left behind. John 14, 1 through 7 says, your hearts must not be troubled. You have faith in Yahweh, and you have faith in me. The house of my Father, in my house of my Father, there are many abodes. But if not, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I should go and prepare a place for you, I come again and take you unto me myself, in order that where I am, also you will be. And where I go, you know the way. Jesus was telling his disciples that they must stand in the confidence of their understanding and faith in Him, the very faith of Abraham. He said the Father's heavenly kingdom is already established. The Judeo-deceived Christians have accepted the inverted message of what He said. He did not open the door for us to start a refrain of, Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. No, dispensation is nothing but demonic Jewish garbage. He said the Father's kingdom was already there. And where? He already told us that also, didn't He? Here at hand. It's right here at our hand. And why is that at our hand? Because we have to reach out and take it. The violence shall take it by force. And that violence, and what violence am I talking about? The violence of the Lamb. Any more questions? He said that we know the way. Thomas says to him, Prince, we do not know where you go. How do we know the way? Yeshua says to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. If you have known me, you also know my Father. Even now, you know and have seen him. This is the time of Jacob's sorrows, because his children are not able to see and differentiate between the truth of our reality and religion, which is nothing more than the false doctrines, garbage of demons. So what is next? And I'm just putting that question out there. The Apocrypha, again, what I started with. Then answered I and said, what shall be the parting asunder of the times? Or when shall be the end of the first and the beginning of it that followeth? And he said unto me, from Abraham unto Isaac, then Jacob and Esau were born of him. And Jacob's hand held fast first the heel of Esau. For Esau is the end of this world, and Jacob the beginning of the next. Thank you very much.